Sai Ram, dear listeners, and welcome to our series Tryst with Divinity, offering you conversations with people who have been touched by the love of Bhagwan Baba. And today, we have the third part of the conversation with Mr. Sumit Tapo. Mr. Sumit Tapo is someone who is not only a popular name in the Indian film industry as an extremely talented singer, composer and songwriter, but also as one who has been an ardent devotee of Bhagwan Baba right from his childhood. Born in Fiji, educated in Australia and living now in Mumbai, Sumit has been performing from when he was age 7 and he released his first album when he was 11. Since then, he has performed at many prestigious music festivals all over the world. However, performing in front of Swami has always been the high point of his life. In the first conversation on Radio Sai, he shared his profound experience of performing in front of Bhagwan's Mahasamadhi on November 16, 2011. That in fact unveiled the curtains for the 86th birthday celebrations of Baba. In the second episode, he recounted the genesis and the blossoming of his love for Swami and the way the Lord has been taking care of him in every step of his life. In the current episode, the third episode, he goes on to narrate many fascinating instances of his grace and love that he has experienced in this long and beautiful association with Bhagwan Baba. We now continue from the second episode.
I had very severe reflux, where like gastroenteritis problem where, you know, whenever I eat, the food would come up and affect my throat, and I would not be able to eat properly. I had it for about 6 months, and one fine day I started to vomit, and I didn't tell this to anyone, but I vomited blood.
This is in which year?
This is 2003, actually.
You have finished your education?
Everything was finished. I was in Sydney then, just before the move to Fiji. 2002-2003, I'm not exactly sure of that, of the year. When I vomited blood, I immediately went to see my doctor. He was a Sai devotee as well, Dr. Gunu in Sydney. And I didn't tell him about the blood. I said, Uncle, I've been having some issues with my reflux. I told him what had happened. And immediately, he touched my section just between the ribs. And he felt a growth. And said, listen, I have to look at your inside immediately. It's already 5:30 p.m. We can't do procedure today, but tomorrow morning. So first thing I asked him, I said, what does it look like? He said, there's some sort of growth there. And I said, growth of what type? He said, no, well, we have to see what it is. But there's something definitely there which I need to look at. Maybe take a swab and take a sample of. I said, please don't tell my GP about this. He said, no, okay, I'll keep it to myself. So I asked him, can it be cancer? He said, no, we can't draw conclusions like that. I said, it's a possibility of being cancer. He said, obviously, because it's a growth. But don't think like that. Mm. It could be absolutely nothing. When the doctor says there's a possibility, you think of the worst. Mm. I came back home. I was quite upset. I didn't say anything. Didn't tell my sister, my parents. My parents were in Fiji. My sister was living with me. Didn't tell my sister anything. I said, tomorrow I've got a procedure in the morning. I couldn't sleep that night. I was just chanting the Gayatri Mantra. And actually quite numb. I wasn't able to eat, not think, not even pray. The Gayatri Mantra was just being chanted, just lip service. I went to sleep. Swami came in a dream and he said, whatever you have, I'm taking out of the body now. I'm removing it. Something is there. For the next 6 months, control your diet and you won't have this problem anymore. The day before, doctor had said that it looks like I might have to put you on a... The worst case scenario, because when you try to tell me, look, it might not be cancer. The worst case scenario is, I'll put you on some sort of medication for 1 or 2 years. You know? He tried to sort of settle me down. But his urgency in getting me in the operation theater was so heightened, you know, that I knew something was not right. And Swami said, I've taken whatever you have, I've taken it away, and you'll be fine. Control diet for the next 6 months. I woke up very happy that Swami had given the dream. Still not able to fathom what Swami had said. Went to the theater. The doctor pressed in the same place and said, oh. I said, what's wrong? No, nothing. It's okay. It's just a 45-minute procedure. I said, don't worry. I said, what will you do? Just putting a tube down your throat and seeing with the camera what's wrong there. I woke up after the procedure. And the first thing I asked the anesthetist, I said, where's the doctor? Because he's actually gone. He's asked you to go home. I said, okay, how long was the procedure? I said, oh, it was meant to be 45 minutes or 7 minutes. 7 minutes? He goes, yeah, you're free to go home. I said, you know, he'll see you sometime next week. So I said, I want to speak to the doctor. Like, you know, what's... He said, no, nothing's wrong. They didn't find anything. It's all clear. So you're free to go home. As soon as you're feeling fine to go and your blood pressure comes, whatever they know they do in terms of your pressure, after you take some ice cream or drink to get the pressure, I said, once that's fine, you go home. I still wasn't convinced. I said, I want to speak to the doctor. And so he got a bit upset.
Mm.
He goes, listen, you know, you can call the surgery on your own, but you know, this is the instructions he's given me. So after I was feeling better, I called the surgery, I spoke to the doctor, and he said, oh, you're absolutely fine. And I said, so what now? He goes, nothing. There's nothing there. Usually, you know, even if you vomited blood a day before, there is some sort of... He said, oh, your passage is absolutely clear, just you're fine. I said, what about the medication? He goes, nothing. There isn't... Well, you know, if you feel reflux, take a Zantac. It's an over-the-counter medication. And he said, I said, where? What about the lump? And he said, science can't explain some things. He said, obviously, it's a miracle. You can call it a miracle, we call it whatever. There's nothing there anymore. And I was just, and I knew, and then I recalled the dream again, and saw me taking it away. That's how he helps you out.
Mm.
Even with my knee, I was a very keen soccer player.
Mm.
Yeah, I'm sure you can't tell by looking at me now. I'm not fit. But I used to play a lot of soccer in my childhood. And playing in Fiji, you know, in uneven grounds, I damaged my knee. The final 2 years of high school in Sydney, I really wanted to play soccer for the team. And I had severe knee problems. I was told that I might need an operation, but I'm too young for that. So, you know, get physiotherapy done. So 2 years of physiotherapy. Every week going to the physio, you know, getting it. Not able to play soccer, cannot run, cannot do anything. I was really fed up. I said, no, I can't play, I can't. Obviously, I started gaining weight because, you know, not able to do exercise.
Mm.
And I used to play soccer 7 days a week.
Oh.
And you know, from 7 to 0. So one day, you know, I came back from the physio, I was really fed up. I said, next week, and I told Swami, next week I'm not going to the physio, I'm not going to pay him a single dollar, I don't care what happens, I'm not doing anything anymore, finish. You take care of it. I said that. The following week I didn't go to the physio, I stopped going, he gave me a phone call, I said, no, actually I'm busy, I'll come next week. So 3 weeks he gave me a call, and he stopped calling me. A month later Swami came in my dream, so I'm seeing Swami walk into my room. I'm seeing, so it's like a bird's eye type of dream. I'm seeing Swami walk in. I'm seeing myself sleeping there. And he's telling me, you keep sleeping. And he pulls out my quilt, it's winter. And you know, he tapped my knees. Ab theek ho jayega. No more problems. I left. And I'm seeing him leaving my bedroom door open and also the front door open. I woke up from my sleep. This is reality now. And I'm seeing the quilt the exact same way.
Oh.
How Swami left it. My bedroom door open and the front door open. And how do you explain that? and no more knee trouble. Start playing that weekend. This is Bhagwan.
So he traveled from your struggle for your photograph to soccer
to 2007.
Okay, so let's come back to 2007.
Let's come back. Tell you a nice story about when he asked me to move to Bombay. So I moved from Fiji to Bombay. I had 9 pieces of luggage with me. So I went from Fiji to Sydney, and you know, at the airport in Fiji, I got charged. I had some friends there, so I said, please do me a favor. They said, okay. Still, they charged me about $400 or $500. Still a lot of money. I arrived in Sydney and I had a flight the next day. So when I arrived, the first thing I checked at the Singapore Airlines counter is, how much do you charge per kg for excess luggage? They told me some astronomical figure. I calculated and I said, I have to pay maybe $3,500-$4,000. And I carried $5,000 with me. So I said, 90% or 80% of my money might go in excess luggage. I'd also found out earlier on about sending a courier over to, you know, to Bombay. That was proving to be too expensive. So I landed in Sydney Airport that, you know, the morning. The night before, I prayed all night, Swami, please take care of it, Swami. I didn't know how Swami would take care of it, okay? But you know, he's just, you're completely hopeless. And you know, you have no way to go, Swami, please look after it. There'll be a lot of money in chanting Gayatri Mantra and everything. So I went to the airport, genuinely scared. So what will I do? You know, I had my money with me. So I went to the Singapore Airlines counter, economy class line, and there's a security at the line itself, and he said, how many of you are traveling? I said, one. So he said, one? You have so much luggage, my brother. Are you mad? And I said, no, actually, I'm moving. Yeah, but how can you take this much luggage? You can charge excess luggage. I said, yeah. He said, I don't know. Go. So he made a face at me, started laughing behind my back. Chalega, jo bhi hai. I stood in the line. My cousin and I think a friend had come to the airport with me, pushing three trolleys. I stood in the line, and the counter's in front. And from the far left, I heard a yoo-hoo, this lady calling me from the first class check-in counter. Come. So I turned my trolley. I went there. Three trolleys. I put it down. And my brother and my friend, my cousin, my friend went away. And she said, how many of you traveling? I said, one. And she said, oh dear, I might have to charge you excess luggage. You know that, don't you? I said, yes, actually I'm moving to Bombay. Oh, lovely. But she was like a bit, you know, frown on her face and not looking too happy. She went behind the counter. Now on my passport, at the back side of my passport, I had a sticker of a photograph of Swami pasted. It just so happened that I put the passport, you know, with the sticker facing up, Swami's photograph facing up. She took the passport and she said, oh, Sai Baba. And I said, oh yes, you know Sai Baba. And she goes, you know, she said, do I know him? I love him. And I said, oh really? I said, I've just returned from Puttaparthi. And she said, really? You went to his ashram? I said, yeah, I've been going for since I was a child. And actually I just met him. And she said, you what? I said, I just met him. And she came outside the counter and she came and gave me a hug. All the other Singapore Airlines staff were thinking, what's going on here? I'm getting a hug from a lady. Oh, you're so happy, you're so lucky. And I said to her, I said, yeah, actually, you know, Swami has asked me to move to Bombay and to pursue a music career. She was so blessed. And I just really sighed at him, so I gave her a copy. No ulterior motive, I gave her a copy. She goes, oh, Songs of Sai, I'm so happy. And I asked her, have you ever been? She said, I've been a devotee of Baba for 17 years. It's always been my dream to go to Puttaparthi, she said. I've never been. So recently, you know, some devotees from the Blue Mountains went. I knew them, and you know, and they had an interview with Baba, and Baba gave them vibhuti, and you know, I've always wanted vibhuti. And I said, actually, you know, Swami gave me some vibhuti just last month, and I had it in my pocket, and you know, I took it out. This is a lady who's really genuinely showing love for Swami. I said, have some vibhuti. So I gave her some. She was crying, you know. Then this episode all finished. Okay, vibhuti, I put it down. And I'm sorry, okay, still $4,000 going from my pocket, but I have it ready. And she looked at my book and she goes, oh, you're traveling economy class. I said, yes, I was studying the economy line. And she said, why did I call you? I said, I don't know, you called me. And she said, you know, I'm not allowed to call you actually. I'm only meant to check in Raffles class customers. And she said, I've been working for Singapore Airlines for 11 years and 6 years in Raffles class, and this is the first time I've called someone from economy class. And she said, I'm a bit confused. And she said, this is all Baba. Baba's done this. I said, yes, all is Swami's will and grace. She put everything on, all the bags, tagged everything. And she said, are you going all the way to Bombay? I said, yes, just stop over in Singapore for a few hours. Don't worry about the excess luggage. I'll put your check-in all the way to Bombay. You don't have to pay a single dollar.
Oh.
And I said, are you sure? Because yes, don't worry. All the way through to Bombay, free of charge. Thank you for the CD, thank you for the vibhuti. I have not done it because of that, but I'm just confused as to why I've called you. This is all Baba's will, and you know, and this is my name. And you know, and I went and I was, thank you, Swami. And I came to Parthi. The first thing Swami asked me, how was the luggage?
Oh.
I didn't say that to Swami. I had tears in my eyes, and what do you say? And he looked after it. I always tell devotees, you know, that if you pray to Swami, the unthinkable can happen. If you pray to Swami with all your heart, He makes things happen. He will do whatever He is God. Maybe that person didn't exist. I've never even checked. One day I will go and check if that Nissan McAuliffe actually existed. But this is how Swami is, you know. Then I came regularly to Parthi. 2006, I told you about my throat. Mm. 2007. In March, Swami had called me for a private interview. 30th of March, 2007. And 45 minutes, I could ask Him anything that I wanted to ask. It was my most wonderful personal time with Swami that day. Anything that I could ask Him, I could ask. Anything. And He was so beautiful, so loving. You know, He told me to get married. Why aren't you married yet? I was engaged by then. And the marriage was, you know, later on that year. We weren't sure of the dates. He said, when did you get engaged? I said, Swami, last September. What date, September? I said, Swami, September 3rd. September 4th should have been marriage. You should never delay engagement.
Mm-hmm.
Swami doesn't like these long engagements. Get engaged and get married. Why didn't you get married? So Swami, I'm sorry. Get married in May. 6 weeks from then. So I'm thinking in my mind, I'm going to get a nice ear full of nice words from my father-in-law that he has 6 weeks to plan for the wedding in Fiji.
Mm.
My wife is from Fiji.
Mm.
So get married in May. He said, get married. You go for your honeymoon with your wife, then you come back and see Swami, and Swami will do your marriage again inside the room. Okay, Swami. In that interview, you know, he spoke non-stop for 45 minutes. Such amazing things Swami said. And I asked Swami, I want to do a concert for you, Swami. Why? Straight reply. Why? Swami, there's nothing in this universe more special to me than being able to sing to you, Swami. But wherever you sing, I'm always there. Only you, Buddha, monkey mind cannot see me. I'm always there. Every concert of yours, I'm there. Wherever my glory is sung, I am there. Oh, Swami, I want to sing for you physically. But I'm there in all your concerts. Why are you worried? Swami is always with you. Swami, thank you. So, you know, sometimes there's one or two seats empty. I'm sitting over there. You can't see me. Sometimes I'm also very happy. There's no seats available in the auditorium. I sit with you on stage. But you can't see me. I said, Swami, thank you so much, Swami. I know you're always there, but I want to perform before the physical form. Okay, I will tell you when. Finished. She cut off the conversation. And then I said, Swami, you want to perform on your birthday as well? Yes, yes, yes. I will tell you when.
तुझको करते वंदन ईश्वर नंदन हो वंदन तुझको करते वंदन ईश्वर नंदन हर कण में बसते तुम साई हर क्षण में रचते सब साई हे शिव शक्ति ब्रह्म स्वरूपा सत्य नारायण विष्णु स्वरूपा हे शिव शक्ति ब्रह्म स्वरूपा सत्य सनातन धर्म स्वरूप परतिवासी नीलाधारी मेरे स्वामी युग अवतारी हो वंदन तुझको करते वंदन ईश्वरी नंदन
End of conversation. Next topic. Then he said, asked about a lot of different things. A lot of it was personal, which I guess I asked him, I said, Swami, how can we become your ideals in life? Swami said, what? Swami, how can we become your ideals in life? And then I asked him the question. Well, Swami was in his own thinking mode. Swami, how can we make you happy? He said, first, Matra Devo Bhava, Pitra Devo Bhava, Acharya Devo Bhava, Atiti Devo Bhava. Swami sang that verse. It was so beautiful. And, you know, he said, this is what makes me happy. This is how you can be an ideal Sai Bhakta. If you treat your mother as God, if you treat your father as God, your teacher, your guru as God, your friend, a guest as God. And Swami said, everything is God. This is what makes me happy. He said, Drishti. Drishti should be pure. Everything is God. Not just human beings. Not just animals. He says, see this handkerchief? This is God. That wall is God. The ceiling is God. This chair is God. Everything is a creation of me. Everything is God. This vision will make me happy. This is how I can become an ideal. And then Swami said, and this is something which happened, which is very special to me, because my mother and father taught me the Gayatri Mantra when I was a young child. And that is all that I chanted. Only mantra that I really used in my daily life. He said, chant the Gayatri Mantra. He also told two other people in the interview room as well, a young boy as well, chant the Gayatri Mantra. And I couldn't, I got too emotional. and then saw me chanting the Gayatri. I thought I was just, you know, just equanimity of mind, just absolute peace. But something happened. Bhagavan had given me the permission to massage his legs, his hands. And Swami started chanting, Om Bhur Bhuvasvaha. As Swami started chanting the mantra, the temperature of his body started going up.
Hmm.
To a point where I couldn't touch his right leg. And I was, it's like an iron, so I was just doing that. And then Swami said, Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. The pressure came back down. I just looked up at Swami, and Swami closed his eyes for some time. I didn't ask him anything. That experience was just so profound, so mind-blowing. That wow, that. And this is the effect of chanting the Gayatri Mantra. That it has an impact on divinity. And that moment was so special. And he said, always chant the Gayatri. And then he said, tell me who your friends are, and I will tell who you are. Such company in this modern Kali Yuga is the most important aspect of a youth and any man. Your friends, he said, you have so many friends, but how many are good for you? And then I saw Swami, I said, Swami, but you say love everyone. He said, yes, love everyone. Love all, serve all. But friends, company, count in your right hand. That's how many friends you should have. Rest, hello, hi, goodbye. And Swami just had so much, you know, to say about the importance of good company. That good company will determine your thoughts, words and deeds. And this is what makes me happy. Gala uppar nahi jata.
Mm-hmm.
And this is how it comes to that concert of 2007 now. Gala upar nahi jata. Your voice doesn't go high range. I've got a bassy voice, and so my upper range is not very good. Wasn't very good at that point in time. I tried to do a lot of realize to increase the range. So every time I did realize, my lower range would expand, but my high range would still be in the upper C sharp, D sharp, which is too low for a singer, especially in the movie industry. Gala upar nahi jata. Swami, I'm trying, Swami. Swami talked to one other person. Looked at me again. Hey, gala upar nahi jata. Swami, I'm trying to do my best. Please help me, Swami. Mm-hmm. Then, start talking about something else. Third time he told me, he said, hey, gala upar nahi jata. So third time when he asked me, I got up on my knees and I said, Swami, you do something, please. Okay. So he pulled up his sleeve, rolled it up, like a surgeon, started to sharpen the instrument, gave me a big slap. Mukh kholo, open your mouth. And Swami put his finger down my throat.
Huh.
All the way down. His fist fit into my mouth. I cannot explain it till today. His finger went down my throat and it touched my vocal cord. I couldn't breathe. Saliva coming out of it. It's a very messy scene. Not something I want to describe. But saliva coming out of my mouth. And Swami was doing that to my throat. And I was in so much pain, I can't even begin to imagine, like, his, you know, like, my whole being is starting to freeze up because I cannot breathe. I'm choking. I'm not sure how long this happened for, but Swami was like a surgeon looking down at a patient. His eyes had gone big. Very ferocious eyes. Like the eyes of Shiva, like, you know, just looking down. Just looking to my eyes and doing this thing. And pulled his hands out. And I went, and I couldn't breathe even after that. I don't know, I must have gone black or blue, whatever I went. So his entire fist and things were all covered with my saliva, and I felt bad. So he wiped with his handkerchief, still looking very stern, looked at me again. Mukholo. Again. Went, put his finger into my tonsils, twisted it. I was in so much pain, like, I can't describe to you. I prayed to Swami after that never to give me that sort of pain in life.
Oh.
That's how much pain I had. A few seconds, twisted it, came out. Again, he wiped his fingers. And then he said, Mukholo again. Hesitating, they opened my mouth. Hesitating. Bhagavan is telling me to do something. A human could not. I opened my mouth. He took my tongue and he pressed it so hard that I felt that my tongue was ripped apart. Then this painful experience had finished. And Swami then, you know, wiped his fingers, rolled his sleeve back down, just smiled. Ab theek ho jayega. Ab theek ho jayega. You will be fine now. Gala upar jata abhi. And then he said, theek ho jayega. Abhi upar jata. Yes, sir. Thank you, Swami. And then he asked me to pick him up. Actually, picking him up happened before this experience. He said, pick me up. And it's only been like 2 or 3 minutes in the interview. I said, Swami, please give me the pleasure of spending more time with you. He said, hey, pick me up. Swami, interview finished already? No, not finished. I said, Swami, then why should I pick you up? I asked Swami, why should I pick you up, Swami? Pick me up. I was so scared because Swami is frail. I didn't want to be the person to, you know, to pick Swami up and suffer something for him to fall down because he didn't have experience. I said, Swami, how? I asked Swami. I will tell you. I will guide you. Don't worry. He said, with your your left hand has to go on the base of my spine. That becomes the support. I said, Swami, your boys, Nitin, Harish, and all these boys, they'll get very upset if they see me walking around, Swami. No. They're very good boys. I have taught them as well. I'll teach you. Your left hand goes on the base of the spine. Your right hand is to hold me. He said, once you give me your right hand, I will transfer all my weight to the right hand. I'll hold your hand. You don't have to do anything. Swami is very light. I said, okay, Swami. So now, I'm putting my left hand on the base of his spine. Right hand, I picked Swami up. And I was sweating profusely. So, you know, I just stabilized him. And, you know, for 5-6 seconds I was there. He said, very good. Now put me down. So I put Swami down. You know, and if you put someone down, you know, he only was halfway in the seat, so how do I now get him back resting against the chair? So I looked confused and said, how do you pick up a baby? So I said, Swami, from under the arms. Same thing. Do the same thing. So I picked him up and I put him there. Completely wet. My kurta was completely wet. I was just so nervous. I sat down, took my handkerchief out, was wiping my face, wiping my body. That was over. I had no idea why I had done that. No idea why. Swami, maybe he was I thought maybe he was uncomfortable in his position or something. After half an hour, I said, pick me up again.
Oh.
Okay, Swami. Same thing. I put, you know, my left hand base of his spine, right hand, picked him up. Now walk me around. So I walked him a few steps. He says, like a dance. 1 foot I put forward, one in the same foot you put back. And Swami said, dancing hair. He was joking around. So I walked him around the room, put him back down. More confidence. So I thought maybe he might want to go outside. So I put him back in the chair. So I put him back. At the end of the interview, he said, now walk me out. I said, Swami, thank you for giving me this experience inside the interview room. If I walk you outside, a lot of people will be angry with me. No, why? Krishna, Swami, you know, only your boy should walk you, Swami. No. You walk me out. I'm giving you that opportunity and I'm telling. It is my will. Don't interfere. I said, okay, Swami. Picked him up. Walked him to the door. And now what do I do? My left hand is against his spine. My right hand is holding Swami. So who's going to open the door? I'm not going to ask Swami to open the door. She said, hey, I have that much control. Don't worry. I am in control. So just keep holding my right hand. The left hand opened the door. So I flung the door open. And everyone in the veranda is looking at me, walking Swami out. And a lot of them are very surprised. So I walked Swami out. And, to the mandir. And then Swami's voice took over. I took Pada Namaskara, sat down. 45 minutes of pure bliss. Why that had happened, I didn't know. Subsequently, in July 2007, 23rd July, I performed for Swami. I just sang my heart out to Swami that day. I sang a Sai Gita song, maybe we can talk about it later on, because there's a whole different story to it, but that concert, you know, I sang for Swami, and I told him before the concert, Swami, I've got 10 songs for you. And Swami had come around 5:15 that day. It was a start of him, you know, delaying that evening darshan to a later time. And I said, Swami, it is already late, I don't want to delay. You're going back to your Zirmandir. How many songs shall I sing? Sing all. So I sang all the 10 songs. 1 hour concert.
Ya Khuda, Ya Khuda, Ya Khuda, Baba. Ya Khuda, Ya Khuda, Ya Khuda, Baba. Sabka Malik Sai Baba, Ya Khuda, Baba. Sabka Malik Sai Baba, Ya Khuda, Baba. Ya Khuda, Ya Khuda, Ya Khuda, Baba. Ya Khuda, Ya Khuda, Ya Khuda, Baba. Sabka Malik Sai Baba, Ya Khuda, Baba. Sabka Malik Sai Baba, Ya Khuda, Baba. Din Dukhi Ki Seva Karte, Dard Harte, Baba. Mandir Masjid Gurdwara Ho, Ya Ho Kashi Kaaba. Har ghar jaate darsh dikhate aata agar bulawa. Har ghar jaate darsh dikhate aata agar bulawa. Sabke dil mein rehte sai, sabke dil bar baba. Sabke dil bar rehte sai, sabke dil bar baba. Sabka malik sai.
At the end of the concert, thanked him for listening to me for an hour. And then I said, Swami, that everyone else in my group also wants to take part. Namaskar, can they please come? He said, oh yes, call everybody. And they said, we will take photos after that. Swami is telling me. I said, yes, Swami. So all the fellow artists also, all the musicians also came and spoke to Swami. And after they finished, I said, Swami, shall we? Oh yes. So I came, I sat next to him. Pick me up. You have practiced.
Oh,
you know what to do. Yes, Swami. That March 2000, 3 months prior to, 4 months prior to, you know, that concert, Swami had painstakingly gone through and made me practice picking him up properly, making sure that I knew what to do. Otherwise, that moment wouldn't have happened. Of me picking him up on stage in that photograph, of holding him, like hugging him and taking that photograph. That would never have happened. And this is the greatness of Swami. He didn't need to do that. But, you know, he gives his examples. You practice. Swami was telling you, spiritual is not about, you know, that one fine day you'll be able to be self-realized or be able to chant the name of God. you know, to practice. And, you know, Swami shows us painstakingly that step by step, three stages of telling me, you know, first picking me up, putting him down, and then walking around and walking out. You know what to do. I said, yes, Swami, you know what to do. And he told the boys, I think was there, I think, no, you leave him. He knows what to do. And he like, leave me, you know, he'll hold me. So left hand on the base of the spine, right hand, picked him up and stood with Swami. And that moment like makes me emotional till today.
Because if you are going to do it in public, you wanted you to give that practice.
Perfection, actually, you know, that everything is with Swami is perfection. Absolute perfectionist. Nothing about him was ever nothing less than perfection. Nothing at all. And that is Swami.
Fantastic. It always seems whenever I speak to you that we have still only scratched the surface. There is so much that Swami has blessed that way to every Sai devotee.
Everybody.
And thank you so much for your time.
Thank you for...
And we just hope we can meet again in the studios of Radio Sai and relive these beautiful moments. Because I think this is what our life is made up of. This is what will transform us. This is what will enable us to live up to what He wants us to live us.
Thank you. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to speak. I don't often speak about these experiences, but maybe it's Swami's will. But thank you, you know, from the bottom of my heart. This experience has, you know, brought out so much memories, you know, which I haven't relived for a long time. So it's been a journey again for me. And like you said, you know, this is what will enable us to live on, and this is the inspiration through which we live by. I said it, you know, on 16 November that these memories are the source of my existence today. And life is for Sai.
Absolutely. Thank you very much.
Sai Ram. Sai Ram. Sai Ram.
You are listening to the third part of a conversation with Sumit Thapu, an acclaimed singer of India who has been performing since he was just 7 years old. A disciple of Sri Anup Jalota, Sumit today is an emerging star in the world of Indian music. As you heard in the conversation, Sumit loved Baba right from his childhood and has been visiting Prashanthi Nilayam every year since his teenage years. He has had the chance to perform in Bhagwan's physical presence on several occasions. He was in Prashanthi Nilayam yet again in the month of November 2011 and had the opportunity to make his musical offering to Swami on November 16, 2011. In the current interview, he shared the priceless moments of his life when he was a fortunate recipient of divine grace and love. This interview was recorded in the month of November 2011. In conversation with Sumit Thapu was Radio Sai's Pishu Prushti. We hope you enjoyed this program. This was yet another episode of our series, Tryst with Divinity. For any feedback or comments on this series, please write to listener@radiosai.org. Thank you and Sai Ram.